All right, close your eyes. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We are here for a short time, but we are so glad for the things you have said to us so far. We've been here from Thursday. Your presence has been here with us. We were here on Friday. Your presence was here with us. Thank you for the touch. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the prophetic declarations upon our lives. Thank you for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for every work you have begun to do in hearts and in lives that will last unto eternity. Thank you that because of this conference and because of your presence and your power in this place, no child who was here will be lost to the world and to sin ever in the name of Jesus. Thank you that we will be alive to see the greatness that you have begun to plant in our lives in this conference. Lord, we are asking that you will do what you will do again today. Finish with us what you have begun. Make it complete. Perfect it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. All right, you may take your seats. Okay. So today is the last day. We are not going to close at 4 p.m. We are closing early today. So I'm going to try to, in a very short time, I'm going to try to go over everything that I have told you from Thursday and then and then add like a few more things for today. And then we will now make ourselves dirty. What do you think? Do you like the idea? Okay. So if you can, so BTC, I beg you, try and comport yourselves for a few minutes. Can you do that? Okay. So the theme for this year's conference is strive lawfully. And it's coming from 2 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 1 to verse 5. The verse 5 is actually where we are. Verse 5 says that if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And so I was explaining to you that the fact that Paul is talking to Timothy about striving for masteries means that it is something that we must be mindful of. And I explained to you that Paul in this particular scripture was talking to his son Timothy. And I said that if you are passing by and a father is giving advice to his son, and you are also somebody's son, that advice the father is giving to his son is advice that you too can use in your life. Because maybe your father may not get a chance to give you that same advice. Your father may give you advice in other areas, but you may not get advice. Please do not make noise. Oh, I'm trying to, if you don't, I don't want that noise. Don't do that. Otherwise, I can't finish. And we don't have time. So your father may not be able to give you advice in that same area. So you take the advice that you heard when you were passing by somebody and his son talking, and then you put that one in your back pocket, because very likely that advice also applies to you. And so Paul is giving advice to his son Timothy, and we happen to be passing by, and we are hearing what Paul is telling Timothy. And Paul is telling Timothy, he tells him a number of things. In verse 1, he tells him that he should be strong. Okay, in verse 2, he tells him that he should do what? Verse 2, quick. In verse 2, he says that the things that he has heard him tell him, the things he has told him, he should catch other people and tell them also. And I explained to you that as a son, God is expecting that you too, and I explained to you yesterday that no matter where you are in this life, so long as you have moved from nursery 1 to nursery 2, from nursery 2 onwards, you are a qualified teacher. Do you remember what I told you yesterday? From nursery 2 onwards, you are qualified. Why? Because you can always find somebody below you, you can teach something that you already know. If you are in nursery 2, you can teach nursery 1, poor nursery 1 things. You have already learned it. So Paul says that if you are a son, one of the things that God is expecting you to do as a son is that you must find people and teach them what you have been taught, what you have learned already. You are not meant to keep those things to yourself. You are meant to transfer them to other people also. Does that make sense? Next verse, number 3. Paul is telling his son Timothy. He says that one of the things that as a son, God is expecting you to do is that you must be able, you must learn how to endure hardness. Learn how to go through life surviving hard things. You get what I'm trying to say? One of the reasons why girls become prostitutes is because of hardship. Huh? When life becomes difficult and they cannot know what to do, then one of the easiest things they can do to survive is that they want to go and find a man who will give them money and then they can live. But I'm telling you that as a Christian child, that cannot be your way. Paul says that one of the things you must learn is how to survive hardship. You must learn how to be hard. Yeah, that's why I said that. I promised that so long as I am their pastor, any child who is in J Church will learn how to fast 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. for 3 days. Yeah, and God will help us. God will help. We are all hungry. The pastor is hungry. The children are hungry. We are all hungry. Yeah. And we are praying. We are going to be praying for a long time. We will come to church in the morning. When we come to church in the morning, we will be praying until evening. Why not? If you were a son, you are supposed to endure hardness. Why? Because you are a soldier. But God is expecting that you will not just be a soldier, a weak soldier, a lazy soldier, a good soldier. And a good soldier knows how to survive hardness. Yeah. Memorize the scriptures. Memorize one. Memorize two. I say, I promise you, we are memorizing chapters. We will be on it. Verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 3. It's hardness. Oh, yeah. We will be at it until it works. God will help us. Yes. Next thing Paul was telling his son Timothy, verse 4. He says that now, another thing I want you to know, my son, another thing that I want you to know is that as you are walking about in this life, always remember that you are a soldier who is in a war, and a soldier who has been recruited into an army cannot behave like a person who's not in the army. Soldiers behave differently from people who are not soldiers. What I'm saying is making sense to you. Why? Because the soldier who is in the army, he has one aim. The person who brought him into the army, he wants to make that person happy. You too, you are a good soldier of Jesus Christ, which means that Jesus Christ has brought you into his army. Your one singular goal, I'm being blessed. Your one singular goal in life is to please the one who has called you. I'm telling you something. Anything, that's the way to guide your life. To be a Christian, you must always determine that the thing I am doing, it must please the one who called me. Jesus Christ is the one who has called me. What I am doing, is it making him happy? It must always be your question you are trying to answer for yourself. If you do that, there are many things in this life you'll never get yourself involved in. You will go to secondary school and come back and you are intact. Why? Because you are always asking yourself, this thing I am doing, will it please the one who called me to be a soldier? This boy that is... There are children here. There are children here. There are children here. You are taking pictures of your breast to send to some boy. When I came to, you know, when I was a student in Kumasi, some years ago. Then I left, and I came back again. When I was going, I said, I'll never come to Kumasi again. And I don't know, I came back. God brought me back. And one day, when I was in a taxi going to town. Hey, will I be able to go around? Let me try. I have a very short time. I was in a taxi going to town, and then the radio was on in the taxi, and there was a radio program. The presenter was saying something. You know, it's one of these, they say something, then callers call in to give their opinion. You see that kind of thing they do. So the question for the day on the program was that if you went to a club, like disco, you went to a club on a Friday night or a Saturday night, and you met Jesus in the club, boogieing, what would be your reaction? Like, what kind of songs do they play in clubs nowadays? I'm available. I'm a piano. They say it's just beats. Or they have songs. I want. Yeah. So you see that you have entered Kivis. Kivis, you know Kivis? Thank God you don't know Kivis. It's good. It's a club on the Inshayesu Road. When you're coming from Edum going to Inshayesu, it's on the way. Kivis. It used to be called Kiravi. But they've changed the name to Kivis. So it's on the... When I was in tech, when I was a student, it was Kiravi. When I came back to Kumasi, the name is now Kivis. Yeah, there's another club next to it. Next to Kivis is what? Vienna. Yeah, Vienna, they have Vienna City. They have some everywhere. There's one also in Accra. Everywhere they have Vienna City. So imagine Vienna City. You go, Shatawale is playing. And then here is Jesus on the dance floor. Jesus on the dance floor. Why are you looking at me? Like, David, I don't like the way when I'm preaching, like, I don't understand. Am I saying something bad? And then she has been disturbing me since I came for the conference. Oh, she was sitting here, this thing. Then she moved here. Then she has come to move here. She's still disturbing me the whole conference. Then the presenter asked the question. When you see Jesus on the dance floor, what will your reaction be? The people started calling. As I was in the taxi asking myself, me too, what will my reaction be? What will your reaction be? You see, Isaac has put his hand on his head. It's like, what is going on here? What is going on here? What? How many of you will be very surprised, shocked, confused, and disappointed? Jesus? And so they are playing, shatter. Freedom. Jesus is shatter. Freedom. Shatter. Freedom. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. How many of you will be surprised? Up here, quickly. Please give this to him. Why are you surprised? You were a Christian and you went to Vienna City. What were you doing in Vienna City that you went to go and meet Jesus there? I know, I'm asking you a question. After you have come to, you laid aside your majesty, gave your suffered on the at the hand of those who you have created, you to all my guilt and shame. When you die and rose again, now today you live. When you sang it on Sunday, then on Friday night, when there was prayer meeting going on, people were you didn't go. People have sweated. You didn't go for the prayer meeting and you went to Vienna City. And then when you went to Vienna City and you saw Jesus, shout out. Now you are asking him, hey, now Jesus, hey. He too is asking you. As a also na hey. Because if you find it strange to find Jesus in a nightclub dancing to secular music, you have no business doing that thing. You have no business. Yesterday I showed you Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible said that God raised him from the dead and put him in heavenly places above powers, principalities, might, and dominion. And he's sitting in heavenly places at the right hand side of God. But then the Bible continues to explain that even though it was he that was raised up, he is just the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Then he explains the church, which is his body, which is us. Because yesterday we sang a song, we are the church. If you sang song yesterday, it is you are inside. We are the church. So Jesus Christ is the head. And then we are the body. The body of Jesus Christ is the church. And so the question is, the point I'm making, you cannot find a head walking about in town talking to people. It will be a very strange thing. Like just head walking about in town talking to people. And so if Jesus should not be in a club dancing secular music, you too, because this is the head. A head cannot be going around. Where the head goes, the body must go. Where the head, that's why as you are in the club, he's also there. Because where the head goes, the body goes. What are you doing there? That he may please him who has called him to be a soldier. Let it be the thing that guides you. You will not do anything you should not do, whether in secret or in public. You will not do. And when you are alone by yourself in a room privately, your goal is that he may please him. I'm preaching very nicely. I like it. That he may please him. That he may please him who has called him to be a soldier, that he may please him. Your goal in life, that he may please him. You don't need a supervisor. You don't need anybody to be in the room, that he may please him. When you wake up and you open your Bible to read it, that he may please him who has called him to be a soldier. How do you know what he wants you to do to please him? It is in his book. That's why we wake up in the morning and read the Bible. You read the Bible, you will not know what you're supposed to. Look, this year, God has really tested me this year. I tell you. And he has taught me a lot of things. I open my Bible, I see a lesson. I open my Bible. You know, if I tell you that I have wept this year, I have cried in church. I was standing in church, they were doing worship. I was standing here, I could not control myself. I was just weeping. Because as I was, in the tears, as in the tears, at the same time, I heard a voice that just spoke to me and calmed me down. One of the things God has taught me this year is the importance of justice. Justice means to treat people fairly. Treat people fairly. Justice is the reason why you must not be a false witness. The Bible says that a false witness subvert justice. Something you didn't see, you go and witness that you saw. Somebody will go into prison because of your false witness. God will even leave a fornicator and deal with you very severely. Yes. Yes. I learned it. One of the things God taught me this year, which in the test that he has been testing me, I have been failing continuously, is one day I woke up in the morning and my quiet time was Matthew chapter 7 verse 1. Judge not. And I've seen a verse before, but that day I felt God was telling me, judge not. And then as I began to meditate on it, then I began to see what, and God was telling me that the reason why I don't want you judging people is because you will never know the full story. You will never know the full. Don't judge people. Don't come to a conclusion on people. Don't see something that somebody has said and say, this boy is a foolish boy, or this boy is a bad boy, or this girl is a sports girl. Do not do that to people. You will never know the full story, because the day you find out the full story, you will see that you made a mistake. And then from the day he showed me that thing, every time I get a test, then I judge. Then I hear the next part of the story, then I feel sorry. I have been... One of the prayers I pray in the morning, Lord, yesterday I did it again. Today, let's try it again. And I've come to see that it's a very difficult thing to do. But it's something God expects us to do. Don't judge people because you don't know the full story. You don't know the full story. When you hear the full story, you will say that you spoke too quickly. You talked too quickly. The thing you said about the guy, you said it too quickly. You didn't know the full story. Because the full story, when it comes out, you will say that, oh, no, 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 no. It was not his fault at all. No, 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 no. Yeah. That he may please. I don't know whether the moon is very quiet. That he may please him who called him, who has called him to be a soldier. That's why every morning I must open my Bible and check and see, what is my commanding officer, the one who recruited me? What does he want me to know today that I will follow to please him who has called me? Paul is a father talking to a son, and we are passers by. We are passing by. How many of you are blessed by the advice Paul is giving to his son as you are passing by? We are being blessed. He's not talking to us. But as we are passing by, we are hearing advice. It's a very good advice. Be strong in the grace that God has given you, number one. Number two, don't entangle yourself afraid of this life. It's good. Teach the things that you have learned. Teach others also. All it's advice. Then please, the one who has called you, it's advice. It's blessing us. But verse 5 is the advice that we want to stay on in this conference. And verse 5 says that a person who is competitively in a sport, that person can never win the prize unless that person competes according to the rules. If a man strives for masteries, he gets the prize, he is crowned, only if he competes fairly according to the rules, unless he strives lawfully. So I began to explain to you that one of the things that Christians have missed, and for me to talk to young people about it, I feel that a young person has a long time to be able to do what must be done to achieve mastery. So I started to talk to you about why I used 2 days to convince you that mastery is something you must want. Mastery is something you must want. As a child of God, as many as received him, John 1:12, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. God is not expecting to be an average human being walking on this earth. You do not reflect him properly if you are average. God expects that every list of award winners, you are among them. Every list of prize winners, you are among them. Every list of scholarship winners, you are among them. You must be at the top. That's why one of the blessings that God told Moses to bless Israel, he said, you shall be the head and not the tail. You will be above and not beneath. It is your heritage as a son. It is your heritage as a son. It is something that you must have. Paul told Timothy, always, always, striving for masteries is something that you must want. And then, when you finally decide that I will strive for masteries, how do you do it? You do it according to the rules. That means there's some rules somewhere. There's some rules somewhere. And we learned that according to Job 38:33. What does it say? Job 38:33 says, do you know the laws of the universe? Can you use them to regulate the earth? we didn't know that the universe has some laws. And that those who know the laws, they are the ones. And I showed you people in the Bible who knew the laws of the universe and they were using it to regulate. Yes. Jesus was regulating. You know that story in Mark 6 and John 6, it amazes me all the time. Jesus, the Bible says that when he finished preaching in the evening, all the ships had left. Only one ship was left, which was their own. Jesus told the people, take the ship and go to the other side. I am going to pray. I will catch you guys on the other side later. 9 p.m., he went to pray. 3 a.m., he finished praying. When he was coming, there was no boat. He said, I have the loss of the universe. Let me start to walk on the water. Hey, what I'm preaching is nice to me, oh. The stories, the scriptures, when you read them, take your time. When I read the Marxist one said, as he walked on the water, he would have passed by them. You see, you guys. I'm trying to tell. When you are reading your Bible, please slow down. Wait, let's do some logical reasoning. A boat sets off from the shore at 9 p.m. in the night. With sails. By 3 a.m. in the night, wouldn't they have gone far in the journey? Don't you think they have gone far in the journey? A human being sets off at 3 a.m. on foot and catches up with the ship that left at 9 p.m. You don't understand what you are reading. You don't understand what you are reading. A ship sets off at 9 p.m. the previous day and continues on the journey and arrives at a particular place. It took them 9 p.m. to 3 a.m., 6 hours, to arrive at a particular portion of the sea. But a human being sets out on foot at 3 a.m. and within a very short time, he arrives where they are. And the Bible says that he would have passed by them. He would have passed by them. When they saw him, he said, it's a ghost. He says, no, a ghost, it's me. He was going to pass by. But he saw the way the people have been struggling. These guys, let me help them. He didn't talk to the storm. He didn't speak to the wind. Mark 6, it's there in your Bible. It's the Bible, you see, I told you yesterday that fortunately for us, the Bible, we all have some. He didn't talk to them, the sea. He didn't talk to the wind. He didn't speak to anybody, anything. He climbed into the boat. The Bible says, verse 51, Mark 6, 51. When he climbed into the boat, the wind ceased. Do you know the laws of the universe? Do you know the laws of the universe? Can you use it to regulate the earth? Not wanting masteries is not an option for a Christian. Yes. And I explained to you that it's not because he was the Son of God. It's because he knew some laws which you don't know. John 6, the John 6 version says that when he entered into the boat, immediately it arrived at the shore. Let's look at that one. It's nice. That one is nice to me. 40 something, I think. John 6. Charlie, I'm trying to round up. Oh, if you don't do fast, the thing will not work. I don't want King James. Give me NIV. Ah, find the thing. Why are you? 40 or maybe, I don't know, 41, 40. It's not very far from where you are. You are slowing me down with this, your thing that you are doing. Oh. John 6, 21. Look, I want you to see Philip with your own eyes. Then they were willing to take him into their boat. Unless I didn't go to a good school. But I know I went to the best secondary school in Ghana. It's not, no, let's not, has anybody here wants to argue about it or something? Is there anybody arguing? The best secondary school in Ghana is the school I went to. There's no discussion. Do you want to argue? Devin, I don't like the way you are behaving in the conference this year. Are you trying to argue with me or is there a discussion that we must have? It's settled. We can continue. And my English mistress of blessed memory when I was in that school, super. So I know the meaning of the word immediately. Unless you didn't go to a good school, some people their school, their school one class, they have a lot of people inside, and then they have A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N. Do you have O also? Is that O? Is that where? N, L, L, A, B, C. What school is that? You got a school that's the one class has so many human beings inside. Then apart from that one, it's A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, L. If you went to a good school, you know the meaning of the word. I'm talking about a human being who knew the laws of the universe and who knew how to use the laws to regulate the earth. When he stepped into the boat, the THEBOAT boat, reached the shore where they were heading immediately. You before. Yeah. That's why 2 years ago I said that if you wake up in the morning and you don't open your Bible to read it, Oye Jimmy Kwasia. Jimmy, it's Jimmy. Which one? Which conference was that? 2 years ago. Yes. Oh yeah, Jimmy Kwasia. You are a combination of Jimmy and Kwasia. And the reason why I need to put the two together for you is because the life that we are living on this earth now, there are very few people who are in this life don't want a certain kind of life. If I show you a certain house and a certain car and a certain something right now, you would want it. It's normal for you to want it. Uh-huh. The kind of life that you are looking for, fortunately for you, in Jesus Christ, that life is described in God's book. And that God's book, you have a free version in your house. And you say you want that life, but you wake up in the morning, you will not look inside that book to find how. Do you know the laws of the universe? Do you know the laws of the universe? Do you know the laws that will bring financial mastery? Do you know the laws that will bring you into total, absolute health? No pain, no sickness. There are laws that people who know those laws use those laws to regulate. those things. And those laws, first of all, the universe was made by God. The laws were made by God. God has written the laws in his book. You have a copy of the book. You are a Jimmy Kwasia. If you wake up in the morning, you don't open that book to see what is inside it. Wait, Jimmy. Oh, yeah, Kwasia. That's why I am preaching with my energy and sweat, you know. Yeah. Because I believe that if you understand what I'm telling you when you are 9 years old, within 10 years, say you are searching for the loss. By the grace of God, within 10 years, dear, you would have found some of the loss. You would have found some of the loss. So I explained to you that as for mastery, we are not discussing it. How many of you want mastery? Mastery is the attainment of what? Of excellence, expertise, and dominance in every field or any field. That's the definition of mastery. Number one, mastery is the attainment of excellence. What is it? Expertise, skill, dominance in any field. Definition number two, mastery. Are you bringing the thing for me to see? Mastery is a high proficiency of skill and excellence. That's mastery. Number three, mastery is active, habitual excellence. That's my favorite definition of all of them. Your excellence is habitual. It's not hit and miss sometimes. Every time you try it, it works. Every time it works. It's not that 3 years ago, I used to do this thing, I used to do it very, very well. And then 3 years now when you do it, doesn't work anymore. Your excellence is active. Mastery means that you have excellence which is active. It's not dormant. It's not in the past. Currently, you are still excellent. And your excellence, every time you try it, it works. Mastery is active, habitual excellence. Mastery is striving for the ideal. If ideal is 100%, that's what you want. You work at it. You are aiming for it. If you start looking for mastery at the age of 9 years old, but within 10 years, by the time you are 19 years old, you would have achieved some, or you don't think that you would have achieved some mastery. God is faithful. You would have achieved something. I don't preach to grown-ups. Grown-up people, they have... When I preach to grown-ups, when you preach to them, so sometimes I have some messages that, like some verses that I have put down, in case they come in to preach to grown-ups, I have some verses that I use to preach to them. Like one of the verses is that, say to the righteous, it shall be well with him. That verse is for grown-ups. Say to the righteous, because it is not well with him. He has not looked for mastery. He has not looked for mastery, so now as he's grown up, no, he doesn't have it. So it's like, it's not working. So the Bible says, say to the righteous, it shall be well with him. It's for grown-ups. That one is for grown-ups. Am I preaching well? I think so. I think I'm preaching well. Then I explain, let me be serious. I explain to you that in a Christian's life, what I gave you is the general definition of what mastery is. But what does mastery mean to a person? See, the Bible says, for as many as received him, and I told that the qualification to strive for mastery is two things you must do. Qualify to compete, right? You remember qualify to compete. The Bible says that as many as received him, received the Son, to them gave he power. The qualification for having mastery, of striving for the mastery, to enter the competition, is that you receive the Son. So once you come to the front, I surrender, Lord, I give my heart to you. Jesus, I give my heart to you. Come and live in my heart. You have received the Son. And then the moment you receive the Son, God gives you power yourself to become a son. Then you can compete. And I'm saying that, for those sons, what does mastery mean? Number one, to be a son who has mastery means to be a teacher. Hebrews 5:12 says, for there was a time when you should have become a teacher. It doesn't mean to be of full age. You have matured. Mastery means maturity. You have learned all the things that you need to know that will make, and you see, the thing is that those things that you learn that make you mature, they are the things that make you into also a teacher. Because you have learned all of those things, now you are also qualified to teach somebody else. Yeah. So to be a mastery as a Christian is to be a teacher. Number two, it means to have dominion. Yeah. Somebody gives you a prophetic word which is not a good prophetic word, you know how to deal with it. A prophet who gives you a word is not God. The God who gave him the word is there. And you have your own personal connection to that God. If you don't like the prophetic word, go to the one who sent the message. Oh, what I'm preaching is nice. If you don't like the word, what should you do? Go to the one who sent the... Why do you believe so much in the messenger? It's like, so long as the messenger has... So long as he has brought the message, it is fine now. Hezekiah said, no. I know you are Isaiah. I know you are a powerful prophet. I know everything God tells you, says to you, it comes to pass. But you are just carrying a message. I know who sent you. And I can go to him myself. I'm not going to deal with you. No, I'm going to the person who sent me. I'll go to him. Yeah, that's dominion. That's dominion. You know how to deal with situations when you have mastery. It's not about... No. You'll be at... It didn't take very long. Between the king's bedroom and the outer court, God's mind changed. Go back to him and tell him, I'll give him 15 more years. 15. You know 15 years? You know 15 years? You are here. That's what I'm saying. Grown-ups, I don't worry about them. If I can teach you, I can teach you how to have dominion, how to deal with all these issues of life. I don't have to be counseling you when you are a grown-up. There is no need. By that time, you are even counseling other people. That's why I like this work. This work that I'm doing is nice to me. Yeah, it's very nice to me. I have an exam on this thing Saturday. I've not learned FOCO. Once I'm here, I'm not even. It's not. It doesn't matter. If I feel cry, I'll write it again. I'll put up. I'm doing the best thing. This thing I'm telling you. I come back to this life again, like some people say, you can come back again. If I come back again, I'll tell God, I didn't start early the first time. The next time I come, I'll be a teenager. I'll be teaching children. I'll be teaching them. And they open the Bible and look at the thing that is in the Bible. What are you talking about? Dominion. Number three, to have mastery as a Christian, it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. To be filled with the Spirit of God. I showed you Bezalel. I showed you Daniel. I showed you Joseph. In every one of the verses I showed you, the Bible described them either as expert, expertise, master, skillful, and at the same time, in the same verse, you will see he was filled with the Spirit of God. There is a connection between being filled with the Spirit of God and being skilled, or being a master, or being an expert. Yeah. If I were you, I will be looking for what and what and what and what can bring filling with the Spirit of God. Yes. That's why, that's what I'm telling you. When you come to an anointing service and something is going on, don't be an idiot chewing gum and talking to your friends. You are not wise. You know, me, one of the things I've always understood, why is it that somebody here beside me fell down? Somebody here fell down. I didn't fall down. It's a very disturbing problem for me. What I'm saying, is it making sense to you? It must worry you. Something is happening in the church. You are in at the back. Then the pastor says, the Spirit of God is here. There's power here. So I feel that I feel angels have just walked into the room. And the guy to your right has fallen down, is weeping. The guy to your left has fallen down, is weeping. Only you are just standing here. You have low intelligence. That's the definition of idiot. An idiot is not an insult. It's a description. Yeah. It's not an insult. You see, Ghana, sometimes they say something, so you have insulted me. I didn't insult you. I'm describing what I'm observing. It's an observation I have made. That your intelligence is low. Okay, Devina, what I'm saying is not. Yes, if you are an idiot, you are not. Because this calculation is not difficult to make. This guy fell down. Something is happening around me. Oh, I'm not saying it well. It's not a difficult calculation to make. This guy fell down. The one behind me has fallen down. But I'm still standing. Something is happening around me. What am I missing? But you are saying... Then you blow balloon. Your intelligence level is very low. Because I'll tell you something. If for nothing at all, every time somebody responds like that, the Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to prophet. The manifestation means that the Holy Spirit is an invisible spirit. It doesn't mean that he's not there. He's there, but we cannot see him. Every once in a while, we know he's around, but manifestation means the showing up, like. When every once in a while, he steps out of the shadows into our reality, and then he steps back out again. And the way we know is all these screamings and shakings and fallings down. And the Bible says, when the Holy Spirit manifests like that, it brings profit. So if the person onto your right and the person to your left have fallen down, a manifestation is happening around you, and without knowing what is going on in their lives, at least based on the scripture, I'm preaching well. You know that prophet is coming into their life. Prophets. They are profiting. So when you are still standing, you must be asking yourself, hey, what prophet am I? Hey. Change your attitude. Come to, because every time Bezalel was filled with the Spirit of God, God himself gave the testimony. I said, look, I have filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God. And because of that, he has ability and skill to do this, that, every craft. The Bible says he is the master of every craft. Yeah. Yeah. You must respect the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And anywhere, anytime, anything you can do, or you cannot, this thing, if I do it, the Holy Spirit feeling will come to me, because you know that the prophet, one of the prophets you will get is that you become a master. It's not always by practice and training or that. It's training and practice is important, but sometimes it's like that. It's a feeling of the Holy Spirit. Hey, God should help me. Hey. Number four. To have mastery as a Christian, it means to have a divine nature. Divine nature. Yes, you have come up. To, suddenly now you have the divine nature. Second Peter 1:4, is that not it? Yeah. When you go to a wedding and there is no wine, it's only water left. Ask for more water. Yeah. Then when they ask for more water, just let them share it. Because you have a divine nature, water turns into wine. Am I the only one who likes such things? Or some people, there are some people in the church who also like such things. You know, let me tell you something. Sometimes when you read these things, you'll be saying that, oh, it's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. Peter walked on water. No matter what you say about how long it took, there is no other human being here that you, have you walked on water before? Even for 5 seconds. If you walk on water for 5 seconds, it will be on TikTok, it will trend, it will be viral. TikTok, it will be viral there. It will be viral on Instagram. You alone. IG, it will be viral. It will be viral on Facebook. You all? Hey! So don't say that, oh, this Jesus, he was the Son of God. I'm telling you something. Believe your Bible when you read it. Jesus said, greater works than this will you do. He wasn't lying. So if it is not happening in your life, you must be asking yourself, what am I missing? That's why I came to preach to you. One of the reasons is because there are laws with which to strive. You cannot compete and win unless you compete according to the rules. You have to know what the rules are. We are all not doing greater works that, because the rules that we have to apply, they are lost on us. That's why we are in the conference to learn. That's why I told that the things I'm teaching you here, they are homework for you until the next conference. And if you are wise, you will go and do the homework. So I've told you what it means to be a master. Then I said that now we have to strive. Because Paul said that now that you want mastery, you have to now start to strive for it. And the way to strive is strive lawfully. And I said, two things you must know to strive lawfully. Number one is that you must qualify to compete. You must be a son. So, and we are all sons. We are all sons. So now we can compete. The second step is that we have to strive according to the rules. And I began to tell you that if God made the universe and God made the rules, and in most countries, in most places, rules, laws, regulations are written down in a book. God has also written down his laws, rules, regulations in a book. His book. That book is called Bible. Lift it out of your Bible, let me see. If you have one, I have one. I also have one. And I said that if you are here, you don't have a Bible with your name in it, please. So I want to announce to you that you are. You don't have a Bible. You say, my Bible is on my phone. Okay. All the best. Your Bible is on your phone. So I said, okay, so how do we now start striving? Step one, delight in the rules. Delight in the rules. It is your delight for the law of God that becomes the force of attraction between you and that law. It's what will take you towards the word of God, towards the laws. Because the thing is that it is a discovery which will take quite a while, you know, to find all these laws. But you have to first of all have an interest, an attraction. That thing is called delight. And I define for you that delight means a high degree of pleasure or satisfaction. I have never had a pastor in my life or a shepherd in my life who will call me and ask you, did you have your quiet time? The only thing that was close to it is when we were in secondary school, the seniors used to use that thing to try and extort things from us. So in the morning when you wake up, when you're a Form 1 student, that's why it's the best school in Ghana. I don't know any other school that they did that. Form 1 students, when you wake up in the morning, you can meet any random senior, believer, unbeliever, atheist, Buddhist, pagan, whatever it is. When he meets you on the way early in the morning, he will ask you, have you had a quiet time? Yeah. So I remember that in my room, the room where I was, every single Form 1 student wakes up. One of the things we used to take to school, in addition to everything else, was a devotional. Everybody owned a devotional in my room, as far as I remember. Every Form 1 person, when they open their trunk, there's a devotional inside. Quiet time was like part of school behavior. A senior can punish you because you didn't have quiet time in the morning, I promise you. Yeah, you can give, he will collect from you or whatever. So when we are coming, we all come with devotionals. And in the morning, when we walk about, you see, there's a portion of the morning when the whole dorm becomes quiet. Everybody is having quiet time. You don't want to step out of the room and you meet a senior and say, you do quiet time. Because you see, first of all, he's looking at your dressing okay? Your dressing is okay. Have you combed your hair? Comb your hair. Because in my school, the school rules, we had a book with the school rules inside. The first preamble, of the heading of the first sentence of the school rule says, every breach of common sense is a breach of school rules. So when the senior looks through the rules and they cannot find the one that applies to you, they'll look at you to see whether you have breached common sense. Not having quiet time in the morning is a breach of common sense. He'll get you. He doesn't get you for shoes, doesn't get you for clothes, doesn't get you for combing your hair, doesn't get you for anything else. He will just, you do quiet time, you say no, it's a breach of common sense. You don't know common sense to tell them when you wake up in the morning, you have to have quiet time. He will punish you. You can get crabbing, you can lose sardines. Something will happen to you for not having quiet time in the morning. So every form one boy, we do it, and when we get to form two, then we start to feel free. But form two, nobody's going to ask you. So in the form two, people stop. But form one, dear. Yeah. And sometimes when you haven't had it in the morning, when you see the senior coming, you start to remember previous ones. Because when you are telling him, it must flow. Otherwise, he will suspect that you didn't do the thing. So when you see the senior coming on, yesterday's quiet time, God says, I do. What you learn? Then you start telling facts. Okay, Charlie, you go. Why you do like you are trying to, hey. See, this type of John, 11:35, John 1:1, these are verses. It will never work. If you quote any of those verses, you are hot. Yeah, so you have to remember something fast. A shepherd will call me. Oh my Jesus, have you had quiet time? Have you had quiet time? I delight in the rules. I myself. What are the verse that we read? What did the verse say? I myself delight in the rules. I'm trying to recap. It's not working at all. Number two, know the rules. Knowing comes from learning. Knowing, after you have delighted, you have been attracted to the rules, you open your Bible. When you open the Bible, that's where the rules are. And as you start to read them, you are supposed to know. And knowing comes with active learning. Active learning. It doesn't come by just brushing and browsing through the scriptures, opening the pages anyhow. No. Active learning. So I gave you four different ways by which we learn the rules to know the rules. Number one is a daily quiet time. We learn the rules through a daily quiet time. That's how we know. We learn the rules. A daily quiet time ensures that gradually you are learning the rules. Number two, Bible study. We take it deeper. Deeper. Microscopic Bible study. Word by word by word. You take this word. What's the meaning of this word? What's it take this word? Every word. Dictionary. You take every meaning of the word, and then you put all the meanings back into the verse and see what sense it makes to you. Microscopic. Yeah. Telescopic Bible study. Yeah. The broader view. Like what the scripture is saying, like broadly. Sometimes you read a whole chapter to get a broad view of what the whole passage is about. Telescopic. You see, next conference or next camp, we will sit down. I will give you the steps. We'll break ourselves into groups. I'll give you the verse. We'll sit down. We'll do the Bible study. That one is a camp. That one has to do a camp. Yeah, a camp. We will group ourselves. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One group. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is a topic, or this is the verse. Everybody, here's dictionaries. Here's the Greek dictionary. Here's the Hebrew dictionary. Every word you need, then you do the group. Then when we come, we all come back together and discuss what did we learn from the thing. That's how we know the rules. Topical Bible study. You say, I want to learn about love. I want to learn about the Holy Spirit. I want to learn about evangelism. I want to learn about faith. So you take the word, that faith, and you find every verse in the Bible that talks about the word faith. And then you start to study until you get a very good view of what the Bible says about faith. Topical Bible study. How many people if you do this, you will know the rules? Will you not know the rules? Yeah. Because one of the keys with which to regulate the earth is faith. So, number one, delight in the rules. Number two, know the rules. Number three, meditate on the rules. That one too, I need another camp for it. Meditation is an art that many Christians don't. They don't know what it is. They don't even understand it. But meditation is magic. Yeah. Meditation is the thing that you use to squeeze the juice out of the scriptures. But nobody teaches it very well. I will teach you one of these days. One of these I'll teach you. Yeah, one of these I'll teach you. It was when I was learning about meditation, I understood that sometimes you are thinking your prayer. You haven't prayed it, but God has heard it. Like, but it has come to God as a prayer. The Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. So I have not yet said it. It is a meditation in my heart, but God has heard it.
Wow.
Yeah. The meditation alone. Just sitting down there and just meditating. Like it's already a prayer to God. Delight in the rules. Know the rules. Meditate on the rules. Next one, keep the rules. Even though in the use of the word keep in the scriptures, sometimes it means observe. In this particular case, I don't mean observe. I mean protect it from loss. So Psalm 119, verse 11. He says, your word, I have hidden it. I didn't put it in a cupboard, in a wardrobe. It will not be safe. Do you know? Jesus came from heaven, and then he began to. You see, there are many things we didn't know about how things work in the spirit realm. It was Jesus who came here and showed us how those things worked. So one day, a certain man went to go and sow seeds in his field. He went and sowed the seeds like that. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell among thorns. Some fell on good ground. Then he began to explain what happened to each of those seeds. It was in Jesus' revelation that we understood that some of the seeds were eaten by birds of the air, because the seeds that fell by the wayside, they didn't get enough the ground. You know, when you walk on the, it becomes hardened. So they couldn't get roots. So birds flew down and they ate them. If you read the Bible, you know that one of the symbols of demons, that they are birds. Why am I saying making sense to you? So the psalmist in verse 11 said that, I know that there are some birds that come flying around as soon as the seed is sown. Because of course, when you come to church and where it's preached, it doesn't enter into your heart well instantly. It takes a while. How about as for the birds, they don't care. As for the birds, they don't care. So as soon as the sower finishes sowing, no, they come swooping down to take the seeds. So the psalmist said, that's your word. No, I have opened my heart and I have pushed it inside and I have closed it. The best can't find it. The best can't find it. Yeah. I cannot lose it. I keep it. Secondary school students must keep the word they were taught in J Church. You cannot go to Y Church and lose the word that was given to you, that was given when you were in J Church. You cannot lose it in university. It is your responsibility as a Christian to keep the word from loss. Keep it from getting lost. It's not your pastor does his job, your teacher does his job to teach you, to give you the word. But it is your job to keep it. Protect the word of God that has been sown in your heart from loss. Next one. Did I say the next one? Oh, that's where we reached. My recap has taken long ago. Yeah. What's about for? Goodness gracious me. Look, let's do the three more and then we are closing. So the next step is love the rules. Did I tell that one yesterday? I did yesterday. Yes, I told love the rules. Yeah, and I'm talking about love. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about a passionate, affectionate response towards the word of God. You see, you cannot, your relationship with God's word cannot be without passion and without feelings and without emotion. Some people say, oh, how I love. You see, sometimes we don't read it well. But if you were saying, oh, how I love your word. You don't love it. That's why you can go out. You can be going off weeks. You have not even read the Bible. It's like, it doesn't do anything to you. It's not important. You must love it. You must have a passionate, affectionate feeling. Your feeling, you must get feelings. When you read Job 38:33, I feel something. If you don't feel something, you are reading the Bible. Something is not working. Look, I have read scriptures. I read the scripture. I got up from my chair. I said, look, it's too hot. It's too hot. See, I need to take a walk. It's too hot. Yeah, I have had quiet time on one verse myself before. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. One verse. I come this morning. See, every time, you see, if you put your finger in a socket and it kicks you, what will happen? You remove it. If you put it inside, it will kick you again. The same socket. So when the verse, it kicks me like this. So I get out, I say, no. I can't handle the power. Then the following day, when I come, I put my hand inside, it kicks me again. That's why I was on it for 2 weeks. Hey, it's kicking me. It was kicking me. 2 weeks. One verse. You're not serious. How can you find the laws of the universe? How can you regulate the earth? You must love it. Boys and girls, am I preaching to you or you have gone home? You must love it. You must get a feeling towards it. See, sometimes there are some verses, they don't give you the feeling the first time you see it. But you give yourself 2 years, 3 days later, when you come and read it, I feel it. Feeling it. You see, I know I look at my face like I'm saying something that not happened to you before. It's like, what is this guy? Why are you? What are you happy about? What are you? Whatever it is. But you'll be there. Then let's continue. Otherwise, we'll not be able to close. Because our closing time is almost here. Hey, Lord. Help us. Okay, so love the rules, come before keep the rules, right? The next one. So the next one is, after you keep the rules, the next thing that you do is you walk in the rules. Now is the observing. Or is doing it. So keep the rules is protect it from loss. But now, next step, walk in the rules. Psalm 119 verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. There is something called walking in the law. Walking. When I was in secondary school, I was trying to walk in the law. One day, I read my Bible in the morning. And the Bible said, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. You know, they say short people, their heart is this thing. Have you ever heard some before that short people, they get angry quickly? It doesn't apply to me anymore. It used to apply to me some time ago, but it doesn't apply to me anymore. You know somebody who applies to the person? That scripture kicked me that morning. Slow to speak. I thought you were looking for the verse for me. Oh. Quick to hear, slow to anger. Slow, and the speaking too, it was not slow. My speaking was not slow. And then my anger too was not slow. So I there was nobody in the room. So sometimes they point at you, you look behind you. There was nobody there. I knew that, yeah, this one there, I have been caught. Clear. Quick, be slow to speak. Oh, is that the scripture? Uh-huh. Let every man, NIV, please. My dear brothers, James 1:19, I'll remember it. James 1:19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Does it apply to you? When they say everyone is, are you inside? Ayo. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So when I got up from the scripture, no, I said, today, I shall be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And I went to class. People were talking everywhere. I was quiet. I was quiet. Somebody talked to me. Somebody talked. Before I start to talk, then I remember, slow to speak, then I keep quiet. I'm not joking, no. The whole day. You see, the day that you know this thing that happens to you, the day that you say, I'm going to fast, your stomach, your hunger is severe. How many that's happened to you before? The day I said I'll be slow to become angry is the day that the anger, temptations to be angry. Because when you tell God that I promise to be slow to anger, and he wants to test it whether it is true, it can work or it will not work. God always wants to test it. You must prove it. That's why we write mock exams. You want to test whether the thing you have learned, you know, before the BEC comes or before the WASC comes, you know, what you have learned, you know, is it there or not? Yes, yes, yes. Hey! I had to walk in the rules. Today I'm not going to be angry. Today I'm not. Look, my prayer was just make it through the day and to go and to see that I made it. And I made it. I think I made it. That some other days, when I read the scripture, I go, it doesn't work. So when I come, I say, Father, today it didn't work. But tomorrow I'll try again. That's how to walk in the rules. So, and you see, God is not annoyed that it didn't work today. There's tomorrow. Try again. That's how to walk in the rules. I learned something. I learned a rule. I tried it. Peter said, if it is you, let me walk on the water. Let's try it. Let's try it. Step one, two, it worked. You put a leg down, it didn't enter. Second one, it didn't enter the water. Oh, solid. This can work. It was going. Walk in the rules. Make it. It must be intentional. I learned the rules. I woke up in the morning. I read my Bible. I learned something from it. I will try it. I learned that if I pray for somebody who is sick by faith, the person will be healed. So what do? You walk in the rules. So that day you find anybody who is anybody in your class, anybody, do you have a headache? Do you have a stomachache? Huh? You are the one looking for. Father, because what have you learned? You have learned how to pray for the sick. Jesus said it. So I have learned how to pray for this. It's a rule that I have learned. But the thing we are learning is that you have to also walk in the rules. So are you sick? No, you're not sick. You're sick? Oh, no. Are you sure you're sick? Which part is paining you? Your neck. So this is what I have learned. When Jesus said he will put his hand there, then he will command that the thing will go. I command the pain to go in the name of Jesus. Yes. What are you doing? You are walking in the rules. You're working in the rules. How will you know whether the thing that you have learned is going to work or it's not going to work? So you go be healed, okay? Like, I'll come back and check on you whether the thing is gone. Yes, you have stomach ache. You have headache. You have what do you? Anybody has any stomach ache or any headache or any? This your leg is spinning you anywhere? Anywhere is spinning. I want to work in the rules. I'm not preaching well. I'm trying to close. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. We are talking about the law, the rules. This book of the law, remember I was telling you that there's a book, the law is inside. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according, thou mayest observe to do, according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He explains to you the outcome of the to-do. Success, he said, I explain to you. Thy way prosperous, you have success. Thy way prosperous is equal to active habitual excellence. is equal to mastery. I'm not preaching well yet. Number next, the last one. Last one. Do not turn from the rules. Do not turn from the rules. Delight in the rules. Know the rules. Meditate on the rules. Love the rules. Keep the rules. Walk in the rules. And the last one, do not turn. Do not turn from the rules. One of the sad things you can read about the kings of Israel, some of the kings of Israel, is that you see the person's story. So Amaziah did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Then as you read the verses towards the end, then you see that then he started to follow idols. Solomon was like that. Solomon was a very good guy who loved the Lord. All these songs of songs that you read and all of this, that he wrote these things. All this, he wrote them. Solomon, we know him as a young man. He loved God with a passion. To the extent that if God came to you and said, well, ask me one thing, I'll give to you. Chale, give me some cash, man. I mean, what are you talking about? Solomon said, man, no, you have given me a whole nation of Israel who are your people, and I want to be able to rule them well. But I'm a child. I don't know how to rule them well. So give me the wisdom I need to rule them well. God said, oh, Chale, if you are asking for, I'll give you that one. I'll give you other things that you didn't ask for as a bonus. That was Solomon. But if you read the story, it says Solomon, his wives turned his heart away from the Lord. That Solomon now began to build altars for foreign gods. This small boy who loved the Lord, we know his story. Suddenly, because it is not the fact that you started with God is no guarantee you will finish. Should I say it again? The fact that you started with God is no guarantee you will finish. You will have to continue. That's why one of the words you see in the Bible is continually, continue. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, I think, he says, but continue in these things. Show me, I don't know what that was. Yes, but as for you, 2 Timothy 3, 14, as for you, continue in what you have learned. You are supposed to continue. It is a requirement that the thing that you have begun to do, you learn them. You have delighted in the rules. You have learned the rules. You are keeping them. Everything. We expect that you continue in the rules. You have to continue. Do not turn until God calls you home. Do not turn. As you are going to secondary school. I mean, what the? Even your secondary school that you are going to nowadays, it's not even as exciting as our days. Secondary school in our time was exciting. Me, if you ask me, like, all my schooling, the part that was nice was secondary school. Met great people, met very smart guys. I've not, like, smart people in my life. Had experiences. You don't even get food to eat nowadays. Then you go, some people are in vacation, some people are at home, some people are on vacation, some people are at home, some people are on vacation, some people are at home. This one, when you go and come, they say that in our time, people used to be cold at home and hot in school. You understand it? Like Christians. But today is the reverse. People come home, they are in church. When they go to school, they become cool. It was in secondary school. I told this story at SEC many, many, many times. It was in secondary. I became born again in the vacation when we were waiting for BC results to go to secondary school. I became born again. In my father's room, there was no church, there was no choir, there was nobody singing. Me alone, I was listening to a cassette. The man said, if you want to give your life to Christ, I give my life to Christ in a living room, and I was there, and I didn't know what else to do. Fortunately for me, they had a Bible, so I was already reading every morning. Then I entered secondary school. It was in secondary school I began to see even the picture of what a young Christian looks like. Every Friday was fasting and prayer. We'll go and pray. One of the days we're going to pray. So we are not praying in assembly hall today. We are praying at the school farm. So I said, school farm is what agri guys do their experiments. Seedlings are planted there. What are we looking at? That's the school farm. So we are going to pray at the school farm. I said, okay, Charlie, let's go and see what's going to happen. I went to the school farm. People were there. The guy who was leading the prayer, one of my seniors was in my house, second year student. He had removed his shirt. his shirt. He removed the shirt. He has hung the shirt on a tree, and he was in his singlet. Then he said, okay, everybody, he came around. You know, they have this voice. And he said, we're going to pray. So we're going to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to fill this school. We're going to pray for the righteousness of God. See, in those days also, all you are hearing is righteousness and holiness and these type of things. We're going to pray for the power of righteousness. Shall we pray? So when they said, shall we pray? See, it was a cycle. So when they said, shall we pray? Then everybody went to go and pray. Hey. I saw the man himself. No, I'm not going to say man. He was a boy. He was like a young. He was older than me, but like as a boy. I saw him. He went to be under a tree. He was a very slim guy. In his singlet, too. In the afternoon. We are here. There are trees around us. Bodie, and other kinds of things around us. And we are here. In the forest. In the farm there. And I saw him in the corner there. Then he bends himself. His stomach was very flat. Then he bends. Then there's a bend like that. And then he has his hand. All these things that I do, I learned it from there. I learned it from secondary school. I don't know what you're learning in secondary school, but that's where I learned it from. I didn't learn it in any church. And then he like that. So when the day I read the scripture that said that with groanings that cannot be uttered, then I remembered. I remember when he said, the spirit prays with groanings that cannot be uttered. I said, because the whole prayer, no, as the person is, we cannot even hear what he said. Hey! So, me, I was my first time in the school farm. As I was looking at the board, I said, hey, Charlie, it looks like over here, not the formula. So, I also want to find a tree. It will be some years later, I came to tech. I was in my hostel. My hostel was at by the market there somewhere. By the market somewhere. The school, Ideasi school was just near to my hostel. It was like a home stay type of thing. Huh? And I was staying there. Because of what fasting and prayer every Friday, it was not a problem for me at all. One morning I woke up at 5 a.m. I said, is there anywhere? So I walk. They said, they have a gate. There's a school. They have a small gate on the other side there where the octopus people have their thing. You know? There's a gate on the other side. When you enter into the school. So I woke up 5 a.m. and then I entered into that gate. When I entered, I saw trees. I said, school farm. School farm. School farm. School farm. When I got there, I thought that I had discovered a place. When I got to the place, here was somebody under a tree. I said, I am in good company. I've come to the right place. Yeah. The things you are learning, will you continue or will you turn away from them? I spent the time there, 5 to 6 a.m. The thing was sweet. The following day, I came again. And again. And again. And again. On my own. No, the church didn't call, the church didn't instruct, but I was there. Because even that, that's been that. The feeling that I get. You say, I've gone to secondary school, so stupid girl or stupid boy. I don't know what I should say about you. One day I came to university and I went home. I was at home in the middle of the night. Before I came to school, a habit I had, we were story building, first floor. So ground floor, first floor. That's where we were. And then there was a roof. There's a stair that goes to the roof. And then I used to, because of my secondary school, this type of like, we used to have dawn prayer. So you will be sleeping in the morning, you hear, get up for dawn prayer. Get up. They will be making noise, and you cannot sleep again. So that waking up at 5 a.m. from secondary school, get up for dawn prayer. It was still there. So when I went to, so when I go home, every 5 a.m. once in a while, I just get up and just go and walk on the car and just chant, blah, 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 blah. So one day, I had not been in, I, no, it was not in university. I had gone to Tamale to go and do national service. And I came home one Christmas time. Because I was in Tamale national service. My house was in Aflao in the Wota region. I came home, vacation time, I was just relaxing. Then I said, Charlie, I have missed this upstairs thing. So I got up at 5 a.m. to go and walk around and speak some tongues. Hey, when I got there to the top there, I heard a voice in the distance. Distance. You know, in early morning, the place is quiet, so voices can carry from there. I said, no. No. Somebody. And you see, there was a school at a certain distance from where my house is. I knew the school. The school park. The guy was on the school park. I was amazed. The guy was on the school park and was screaming enough for me to hear it on the rooftop. I said, there is somebody in that school park. Charlie, that guy was screaming before I came home. So as I was there, I do 5 to 6. When it was 6, I was about to go. The guy was still shouting. I said, no. He came before me. I can't go before him. I can't say, I'll wait. When he stops, then I'll go. So I was going. Until at a point, I was not hearing him. I said, how? You think you are a Christian? Until you meet some other people. For me, it was a silence. Who is this guy? Because as I'm praying up there, I don't want to disturb anybody. He's there on the school park, screaming. Do not turn away from the laws. It's the last step. Do not turn. You start by delighting. Your ending, don't turn. Have I finished preaching? But I'm about to finish though. This is my last one. This is my last one. I can close now. Do not turn. SCC 2025. Do not turn. I'm shouting it into your ear. Do not. You see, let me tell something. If you turn, you are a terrible loser. Yes. Imagine how many years it has taken you to come from delight in the rules, know the rules, meditate on the rules, walk in the rules, love the rules, everything. And then at a point, you turn. You have wasted investment. Trial. Somebody told me that I'm too old to be a children's pastor. I say, oh, you are blessed. Me, I intend to be 70 years old with my gray hair. Hallelujah. I will be telling you the same things. What is the I'm too old to be a children's pastor? What do you mean by that? Am I too old to be a children's pastor? Even see the way I'm dripping this morning, right? You can see that it's not you. Which of you in the room here can match my drip? See, I'm too old to be here. When I'm driving to work, you should hear the kind of songs. There's a guy he's called Luke November. Drill and Kwan, drill. You know, drill and Kwan. When I'm driving, see, when I have one hand on my steering, saying the guy is. You see, I'm too old to be a children's pastor. I'm not serious. What I'm preaching, if I'm 70 years old, can I not preach it? Huh? Can't I preach it? I cannot continue to tell you that. I cannot tell you when I'm 70 years old, I cannot come here and tell you, do not turn from the law. I cannot tell you. You won't listen to me because I have gray hair now, so you won't listen to me. Look, let's close. Like the judge has come with energy. I pray for you. God knows the prayer that I have. My prayer, it is for children. Like, it's always for the children. It's important. This morning I was praying to God and I was telling him that thing. He should just somehow use the words that come out of my mouth to create the effect that he himself wants to have in your life. I'm praying for you. Look, nobody in this strong Christian conference will turn away from the rules. I prophesy. By the power of God which is in this place, I prophesy. It will never be said of you that you turned away from the rules. I prophesy by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Yes. I declare that there will be no force strong enough. No power strong enough. No power strong enough. No love strong enough
to pull you away from the laws of God.
Amen. Yes.
You will make it. You will make it. You will make it. What God has written about you in his books, you will make it. You will become it. Satan will be put to shame. Satan will be disappointed. You will make it. Yes. 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 The prophet you are supposed to become, you will become it. Yeah. The apostle you must be, you will be it. Yeah. The souls you are meant to save from hell, you will save them from hell. There will be no power. There will be no love. There will be no force strong enough. Strong enough. In the name of Jesus. Yes. You will become it. The world will see you. The world will see you. This world will feel your impact. This world will know you are here. This world will know your significance. In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Wherever you find yourself, change will be around you. I prophesy. I declare. No, you will not become a misdemeanor. You will not become a wayward person. You will not become a useless person. You will not become you don't know what to do with you. They will not call you names, funny names. No, 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 no. 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 Every investment of word, of teaching, of prayer that has been made over your life, it will bear fruit. It will bear the fruit it must bear in its season, in the right time, in the name of Jesus. I declare. I declare. By the power of God which is in this place, I declare. Yes. You will be great. You will be great. As God has ordained it, you will be. Yes. Yes. I see somebody. You are standing on a stage and there is a crowd in front of you. And as you are speaking the words, I see the power of God is falling all over the place. All over the place. It will be you. It will be you. Yeah. 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 In the name of Jesus. It's going to happen. Coming to this conference will not be for nothing. It will not be for nothing. No, 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 no. God will watch over his word to perform it in your life. In the name of Jesus, I declare it. I declare it. I declare it. I see a generation that is coming up and changing the atmosphere. In the name of Jesus. Mashkodianda labras kabaha. Makonda halabras kabaliondo libahanda kalabra. Repasapa kalianda kabahala branta kalaba. Bresapa kalianda kalabaha. Repaliba. In the name of Jesus. They will be saying, you cannot trust these young people. You cannot trust these young people. It will not be about you. It will not be about you. It's not be about you. Yeah. Malabrosh kalaha. Let's begin to thank God in this place. Lift your hands up and just begin to thank him. Just thank him. Just thank him.
Yes, Lord.
All
yes,
over
Lord.
This place.
Yes, Lord.
Power of
yes,
God is
Lord.
Here.
You deserve it, Lord.
It's here. Just lift your hands up and just open yourself up to the Spirit of God.
We deserve it, Lord.
Yes.
We deserve it, Lord.
Yes, thank him. Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you.
Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord.
Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, yes.
Yes, yes.
Mashapakalabaha. Yes.